Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good evening. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time to have a quick chat and catch up with our friend Vasu Menon. He's the Executive Director, Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank, and he's going to share with us a little bit more about how he's navigating the current market. Vasu, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
So, you know, Vasu, looking at how the markets have been holding up this week, you know, we've had some poor economic numbers out here in Singapore reporting its worst ever quarterly contraction. Over in the UK, we saw the UK go into recession overnight yesterday, but we did see some markets continue to post gains. How are you tracking the markets at the moment?
The markets have done exceptionally well, Kelly. I mean, markets have rallied, global equity markets have rallied 49% from the bottom in March. That's phenomenal. And, this is despite the fact that economic data, you've seen some improvement, but generally it's been not fantastic. And I think what's been driving the markets has really been the abundance of liquidity on the sidelines, central banks providing comfort that they will do all it takes, fiscal policy support. So lots of money sloshing around, looking for a home, and they've gone into equity markets, clearly. And on top of that, you know, the reopening of the economies, plus the hope that a vaccine will be found soon, have all added to optimism and fueled a huge rally in equities. And we have almost retraced all the losses we've suffered as a result of COVID earlier this year.
I know. It's almost as if we're, you know, because we are in the middle of a pandemic, Vasu. So, you know, it's quite interesting to see how markets are tracking this. And, you know, just picking up on that point about the potential vaccine, you know, as you mentioned, Russia has announced this week that it could be coming out with Sputnik relatively soon. And, you know, it's brushed aside that international concern about safety of the world's first vaccine. So that said, though, what are you looking out for on the vaccine front? Is a vaccine really the solution at the moment?
Well, you know, a vaccine will help. And, you know, the markets are hoping that a vaccine, at least one vaccine, will be available for use by the end of this year. At least this is what Anthony Fauci, the infectious disease expert in the U.S., has said. He expects at least one of them to be available by the end of this year. But, you know, effectively, the problem here is that there's no clarity and alignment among the global regulators as to what constitutes a safe, effective vaccine. So every regulator in different parts of the world have their own criteria. So, you know, even if vaccine is found, the question is whether it's going to be immediately available to different global jurisdictions, right? Because the regulators in the individual countries will have to first accept it. Number two is that, you know, even with a vaccine, it doesn't mean that life is going to go back to normal 100%. We'll still have to practice social distancing, putting on the mask. You know, restaurants will still be half full. And, you know, I think it'll take a while before all of us get back to business as usual. So, yes, a vaccine helps provide mental comfort. But don't forget, the other thing is also that even if a vaccine is found, you need to produce in sizable quantity to be made available to, you know, everyone in the world, then who gets it first?
Because we have seen some so-called vaccine hoarding, haven't we, in terms of some of the deals that have gone out on the market. And as you mentioned, who is going to get it? Who's going to have access? Is it just going to be these larger countries?
Precisely. The larger countries are the senior citizens, the poorer people, the richer people. What's the price of the vaccine going to be? I mean, are people going to be able to afford it? Who's going to pay for vaccine? So, still lots of questions, Rachel. I mean, lots of unanswered questions. So a vaccine is a nice piece of headline news. It inspires confidence. But when you drill down to the details, it makes you realize that it's not so straightforward. Because, you know, if a vaccine is approved, like I said, in the US or UK, will some country in Asia be ready to accept it without first doing their own trials and making sure that it meets their own safety standards? So, you know, the global alignment as far as safety and effectiveness is concerned is still not there. I mean, isn't one single body really, you know, trying to come up with that standard for the rest of the world?
And, you know, on just following on from that, and looking at other data that's coming out this week, we've got some key data coming out from the US and China, jobless claims, retail claims. What are you looking out for? What are you keeping an eye on beyond this vaccine news?
You're right. I mean, the data is also something that drives markets. In the U.S., the initial jobless claims are going to be slightly better than what we had in the previous week. In the previous week, we had 1.186 million jobs, initial jobless claims made. I think this time around, the market is expecting 1.1, a slight improvement, but still above the 1 million threshold. We've not gone below the 1 million threshold, so it's still fairly high. Prior to COVID-19, initial jobless claims used to be like, you know, 200,000 claims per week. Now we've got more than a million. So it's still relatively high, but it's come off significantly from the peak of 7 million in early March. So, you know, the U.S. is slowly recovering. It's a very gradual recovery. I mean, in China's case, I think the July numbers for retail sales, industrial production, fixed asset investments, all those are going to show an improvement compared to June. And that's to be expected because the Chinese economy is slowly getting back on its feet. We're talking about a modest improvement. So in the case of industrial production, for example, in the month of June, 4.8% growth. Month of July, you know, markets are expecting 5.1%. So a modest improvement, not a big, big improvement.
And the same for U.S. retail sales as well, right? I mean, previously we were looking at about 7.3%. The forecast is for about 1.3%. So we're starting see a bit of spending that could kind of lift the markets as we come towards the end of the week, right?
Precisely, you know, I mean, yeah, so the markets are digesting all this economic data, and clearly it's going to have an impact on the markets on top of the COVID-19 developments, plus the vaccine developments, of course, US-China tensions, all that at play, you know, many moving parts.
And let's talk about those US-China tensions, Vasu. Do you see this continued tit-for-tat having an impact on the dollar, and what effect is it having on the equities market at the moment?
Well, the tit-for-tat has not had a major, major impact on equity markets just yet. As we discussed earlier, equity markets have rallied 49% despite all this tension. I think the key thing is, so far it's been a war of words. It's not been a full-fledged economic war. It's been relatively targeted and small-scale. You know, the sacred cow is really, you know, the phase one trade deal. Trump has not rescinded the trade deal. He's not cancelled it. He's not gone that far. And I think that has inspired confidence that perhaps you will see rhetoric escalating. But the actual, you know, ground level business impact, economic impact may not be as significant. You'll see sanctions. You'll see war of words, like I said. You know, you'll see TikTok, for example, being banned. But your markets are hopeful that, you know, eventually, you know, Trump knows that if he takes it too far, stock markets are going to tank. And to him, the stock market is his report card. And he wouldn't want to go too far in, you know, pushing it and having a big impact on the U.S. economy.
We're speaking to Vasu Menon, Executive Director Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. So, Vasu, tell us then, if we're taking a longer-term view, do you still think that equities are the best way to go?
I do. I think equities are a very good way to go. But having said that, I also believe that investors should diversify. I'm a firm believer in asset allocation. In other words, having some money in equities, having some money in bonds, having some money in other asset classes as well, like gold, for example. And so, you know, equities, yes, I believe that, you know, it is the way to go. In the long term, I think equity markets should still do fairly well. It may not do as well as the 50% returns we've seen in the last 6 months, Rachel, but it's going to be a decent return because I think fundamentals are slowly starting to improve as economies reopen. And more importantly, there's a huge amount of liquidity on the sidelines. Huge amount of liquidity. You know, and that has to look for a home, and liquidity is going to be a driver. Any sharp pullbacks in the markets won't last for long. I think money will go to work and, you know, help markets recover fairly soon. So interest rates are very, very low, and liquidity is a big, big supporter for the markets right now. And I think we'll stay so for the next 2-3 years.
So, Vasu, you briefly mentioned gold just then as well. And we did see gold hit above the $2,000 mark recently. Yesterday, it dipped to about $1,800, and then it was back up over $1,900. Where do you sit on the commodity at the moment? I mean, you know, a few weeks ago we'd spoken to someone who said that we could see gold hit $3,000. I mean, talk about catching gold fever right now, but what are your thoughts?
I know. Well, our thoughts are that, you know, gold in the next 12 months could hit 2,150, 2,250. We think that's a more realistic level. 3,000, we're not as optimistic as that. We were positive on gold at about 1,003, 1,004, 6 months ago. We were actually out there saying buy gold, and, you know, it's been validated. And, you know, I think gold still has more room to hit higher. Interest rates are going to stay very low. U.S. dollar is weakening. Those are, you know, factors that are positive for gold. The world is still a very uncertain place. Another factor that is positive for gold. You are seeing central banks de-dollarize their portfolios of, you know, foreign exchange reserves. They are moving away from U.S. dollar towards gold. And so lots of factors still at play here in favor of gold. And gold is emerging as a asset class, a distinct asset class, which is being endorsed by central banks, institutional investors, retail investors. So I think it will hit higher. I mean, it will not hit as the performance is not going to be as strong as what we've seen in the last 6-7 months.
But if you're looking at a 12-month timeline, how high do you think it can go?
12-month timeline, 2002, I wouldn't put it past gold. I mean, another $200, $300 an ounce is very possible. But, of course, a lot hinges on interest rates. And we are of the view that the Fed is going to be very accommodative. Interest rates will stay low. Possibly U.S. dollar weakness, and it's going to be good for gold. You know, let's see what happens at the end of the year. I mean, Biden wins, we're going to see another period of uncertainty initially. It's going to be good for gold as well.
So one last thing that I wanted to have a quick chat with you about, Vasu, and that is digital gold.
Right.
Because I'm very curious about Bitcoin. We've seen it tease that 12,000 mark. Just taking a quick look now, it's about $11,300. Where do you sit when it comes to cryptocurrency and Bitcoin? I mean, it's been particularly volatile the last few weeks.
It has been, Rachel. And where we sit is we think we're not positive in it. We think it's very speculative. We wouldn't advise investors to go into cryptocurrencies in a big way. It's not backed by fundamentals. It offers no yield whatsoever. Cannot be seen as a real financial asset class with no cash flow. Why are people buying Bitcoin? Because people are taking a view that, you know, this could be real money. Like you said, it's a digital currency, could be real money. But to be real money, you need two attributes. One, stable store of value. Number two, medium of exchange. And stable store of value, as you highlighted earlier, has been very volatile. You know, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency is very volatile, so it's hard to see it being a stable store of value. Medium of exchange, will central banks endorse it? No indications whatsoever. You've got a proliferation of virtual currencies, 6,000 over cryptocurrencies in the world. If central banks endorse it, you know, they're going to lose control of money supply and they will not want to see that happen. So I think central banks are exploring digital currencies, but they're not ready to give up fiat currencies just yet. So lots of speculation. Go ahead, buy, but be ready to lose your money if you do. Just be very careful not to throw too much of money into cryptocurrencies. That's our view. It's very speculative.
Great. Well, it's been absolutely wonderful speaking with you, Vasu. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Rita. Thanks for having me.
We've been speaking with Vasu Menon, Executive Director, Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.